Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. And this morning we have a special guest with us. Actually, I always enjoy getting with John Baugh, who's the stock analyst, the public company analyst for this industry, a managing partner with Stifel Nicolaus. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kemp. Thanks for having me on.
Sure, sure. Well, I always enjoy talking to you, but I know this is going to be interesting to a lot of our listeners. I mean, we're in unprecedented times right now with the stock market where it is. This market is the lowest it's been since 97. Is that right?
It is, and according to our fearless leader, it's bobbing and gyrating, the stock market. That would imply there's ups as well as downs. I've drawn a trend line through these numbers, and they're seemingly in one direction, Kemp, and that is down.
Yeah.
The stock market's been brutal. It's decimated a lot of wealth, has a huge psychological impact, and, you know, it's to some degree not always correct, but a leading indicator of what they think's coming, and so... the fall we saw last fall in the stock market clearly indicated correctly troubling economic times ahead, and that's where we are.
Yeah. I wrote an editorial, I think it was in our February issue, that said, you know, when will we know that we've reached the bottom? And one of the first indicators, I think, is going to be some kind of recovery in the stock market.
Yeah, it's not a perfect indicator. It's not always correct. But it certainly, in prior deep recessions, and deep cycles has been a good leading indicator.
I know you follow Interface, Mohawk, Armstrong, Dixie, and Lumber Liquidators. Why don't we go through all of these companies now have reported fourth quarter and year-end numbers. All of them aren't doing well, but most of them are still do have some earnings, right?
Well, Lumber Liquidators actually has not released their numbers yet. They'll do so next week, but the other four have. And, well, they're to varying degrees of success or failure, depending on how you define that. The core businesses, I would say, with the exception of Dixie, have for the most part remained profitable in the fourth quarter.
Now, why don't we go through each one and start with the biggest one? Obviously, Mohawk just came out with their numbers a couple weeks ago. If you at face value, real quick look at the headline, I mean, they're talking almost $1.5 billion in losses, but if you look at the fine print, they actually generated about $419 million in earnings. Talk about them for a minute.
Well, a lot of accounting charges in the loss, the net loss, which I don't want to say are irrelevant, but they are non-cash charges, and they relate to the impairment of goodwill and intangibles. These are kind of accounting adjustments for acquisitions they've made in the past. And subsequent write-downs relating to those valuations that were set up on the balance sheets. They're not indicative of the true run rate of profitability of the businesses. When you look at Mohawk's fourth quarter, they were profitable in their three key categories, the Mohawk division, which is primarily carpet and rug, and Dow Tiles, which of course ceramic, and Unilin. They were profitable on all. But the sales degradation was pronounced in all three divisions, and their forecast for the first quarter will be that the carpet division will lose money, and one would expect further erosion in profitability in both the ceramic tile and laminate flooring businesses, both due to the weakening economy and the tough seasonality of the first quarter. So, it was a profitable fourth quarter. The first quarter, there's obviously a loss projected, again, an accounting issue largely with FIFO inventory accounting. But nonetheless, we're going to see a tough first quarter on a fundamental basis for Mohawk.
Well, a couple of things. On writing down that goodwill with Mohawk, I mean, since the news is so bad, the CFO says, okay, guys, let's clean up the balance sheet. Let's take care of everything that we need to. I mean, this is done right now because since the news is already bad, is that
no? It's not a discretionary an adjustment.
It's not.
Something like forecasting accounts receivable write down. There is some discretion in that, but this is a strict accounting adjustment done by their accountants. It has to do with the stock price trading below the book value. It's a complicated formula,
okay.
But it's not discretionary. Now, on top of that, of course, they are taking plant closing charges, and they are doing things to lower their break-even costs. Those would be, if you will, discretionary management decisions, but they're not so much being done, Kemp, to you know, dump all the bad news into the fourth quarter, and my opinion is they are to adjust the cost of the business to the current revenue run rate.
Yeah. So here's a company that was trading triple digits less than a year ago. Now they're, you know, 20-some dollars a share. But, I mean, they're still a very viable company. They're in a business that's long-term got, you know, as Warren Buffett says, everybody needs floors. So, you know, outlook is not horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you take the longer-term view, first and foremost on closing out the numbers, look at the cash flows. And they're in a time like this more indicative of the viability of a business. Obviously, sales and earnings are going to be difficult to come by for all players in floor covering. But Mohawk still generates substantial free cash flow. That should enable them to fight another day, if you will. And there are peers out there who will fail if this economy stays where it is and or gets tougher. And that would imply further market share gains for the survivors, and I think Mohawk will be one of those. Flooring's not going obsolete. That's good news. We still have to walk on something.
Right.
And we'll, you know, we really don't see the threat of foreign competition, save for select product areas where it's arguably always been there. Mm-hmm. And some of those areas, actually, we're seeing some of, like wood, we're seeing onshore sourcing becoming more popular. So, yeah, I think when you take a longer-term view, housing construction is got to be close to a bottom. Remodeling activity, consumers have just stopped doing anything. Mm-hmm. We are at such a low run rate on the residential side of things that the hope would be we won't go dramatically lower from here. I think it will go lower in the next 6 months, and my hope is sometime in the fall we bottom out.
Okay.
On the residential side.
On the residential side. And the first sector would probably show any uptick would be on the remodel side of residential.
Typically be where we'd see it.
And you know, Mohawk, just to finish up with them, you know, at their peak, they were a $9 billion company, roughly, and now they're $6.8 billion. So, I mean, they're making the necessary adjustments to right-size, if you will, to the current demand, right?
Well, they are, and they have no choice. They have to. You can't hold out hope that you're going to go back to $9 billion in revenues anytime soon.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, the next one, I guess, would be Armstrong, and if you're running down in size. Yeah, talk a little bit about Armstrong.
Well, you know, two businesses, of course, the ceiling tiles business and the floor covering businesses. The flooring side, reasonably strong results and resilient. At least domestically, offset by continued resilient losses in Europe, the wood business saw a significant contraction in the fourth quarter. We've seen that wood numbers for the fourth quarter, I'm hearing, are down 30 to 40% in the industry. So,
I can tell you, just you know, we obviously do some research and some, I don't know, some calculations in that area, and our estimate is in 2008, resilient was only off. Let's say, you know, if you're looking at dollars, and we think the whole flooring business is in 08 is off about 10% in dollars, and so if a category like resilient, we've got it about negative 2.2. That's actually not bad versus you know, it's picking up share a little bit. And then, but then you've got hardwood flooring, and as you know, as we're talking about Armstrong, they're the king in resilient and the king in hardwood. And hardwood, our dollar projection for decline in 08 is off 18%. So, so as we run down the list, Interface, I guess, would be the next size company.
Yeah, obviously a commercial exposed company, and primarily in carpet tiles, and had a decent fourth quarter, but again, a significant deceleration. Obvious in their incoming order rates, which were down in the low 20% area, and they'd indicated their first 6 weeks of the calendar year 09 were down, I think it was 27% in terms of incoming orders. So, you know, it's going to be a challenging year, particularly in Europe, where they generate about a third of their business. If you can believe it, Europe looks worse than the United States on a macroeconomic front. So, they have a little more exposure in Europe than the U.S. in terms of the office component, particularly in markets like Dublin and London, which are under immense pressure. So, yeah, they face the same issues that everyone else is facing in terms of incoming business. They are diversified domestically and to the education and healthcare markets, and those will hold up decidedly better. There may be some spending lift from the stimulus plan as it relates to those markets, healthcare and education in particular. Government spending will be good, too, another key end market for them. But the office segment's going to be under considerable pressure.
But Interface, I mean, let's talk about it for a second. From my perspective, they're the leader. They are the number one world producer of modular carpet tile. Carpet tile has been, you know, for several years, has been taking share from Broadloom. They do have a little bit of Broadloom exposure, you know, especially over at Bentley Print Street. But, you know, they're in a market that's trending toward, you know, taking share.
No doubt about that, and they have a wonderful business, they have a wonderful franchise, and I think they will survive this cycle.
So, but their stock is traded, I mean, it's a really low number when it was up.
Yeah, the stock's been discounted substantially, and, you know, I think some of the concern that they will meet a liquidity crisis, I think, are unfounded. Mm-hmm. And that would seemingly, to me, be behind the stock being so weak, as there are concerns about their...
Don't they have some bonds that are maturing that they need
2010, to January, they have some bonds, but those are trading at $95, $96 on par of 100 and $1,960 bucks. So that would seemingly indicate, Kemp, that the bondholders are not concerned about getting paid, and they shouldn't be, in my judgment, when, as you correctly point out, they have a wonderful franchise and a good business and blah, 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 blah. Right.
Okay. So let's move to, Dixie, I guess, would be next.
Well, they're at the high end of the residential market, which is, unlike prior cycles, getting hurt worse. You know, it used to be that the wealthy guy held up. One could make the argument that the wealthy guy's gotten slaughtered worse than the average Joe. Certainly the wealthy guy hasn't benefited from any of the stimulus checks last year or some of the things that are coming out being proposed by the new administration. And, of course, the stock market has hurt. So the Maslin and Fabrica brands, which cater to the high-end consumer, under enormous pressure. Most of that spending is discretionary, Kemp. So... we're seeing, that business perform worse than the Dixie Home division. And that's counterintuitive with the way prior cycles have worked. They're also in the commercial sector, so they're in two tough end markets. Again, wonderful brands, wonderful customer list, but orders have declined precipitously, and it's tough when you're a manufacturer with fixed costs to adjust to that.
Well, like take for instance Fabrica, their Fabrica brand, which is the West, they manufacture in the West Coast. I mean, that's carpet that's in the White House. That's yacht carpet. I mean, they really do have some niches that in good times are up there, and they're talking right now about the possibility of either selling or moving Fabrica. So
I mean, volumes have. Volumes have fallen sufficiently where that plant is really not viable, and they've got to do something.
And they got some real estate out there that's worth some money. So, that might be something that maybe give them a little bit more staying power if they were able to make a move there.
Yeah, I think this the combination of extricating themselves from a plant that's losing money and the possibility of realizing cash proceeds from a divestiture or some kind of asset sale would give them a little bit more breathing room for sure.
Okay. Well, and the last one we need to talk about real quick is Lumber Liquidators. They're on the other side. They're actually, I know they haven't done the year-end numbers yet, but they spend 10% of their annual revenue in advertising. They're, the last time I looked at some of their financials, they're pretty profitable. What can you say about them?
It's a great niche, a very profitable company, and I think the best thing they have going for them right now is a debt-free balance sheet with net cash. Cash is king. Having said that, we're watching these wood numbers come in, and they're not immune to what's going on. So I do think they're, to the degree consumers are buying hardwood flooring, they're trading down, and they're probably getting their fair share of that trade-down market. So that's sort of their niche. But we'll see what they say next week. But I think business has got to be tough.
Well, how do you wrap all this up? I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have taken all their stock and they've got it in cash, and they're just sitting waiting for some kind of sign that they might benefit from some kind of recovery. It's just no way of knowing when that's going to be, is there?
No, Camp. I mean, timing is always difficult. I do think that when we see a turn in the stocks, and in the floor covering stocks in particular, I would not be surprised to see these stocks double in a week,
right,
or possibly less when this turn comes. And if we see a lift in volumes anywhere in the next year or two, it's going to be a fairly dramatic impact on profitability. And these stocks will anticipate that. So stocks are not that far away from a potential rebound in my mind. And you've got to be careful about getting overly negative on the stock front. Certainly as a running a business, the next 6 to 9 months are going to be extremely challenging. I hope by fourth quarter, if not earlier, we see some level of stability on the residential side of the business. And if we see that, the stocks should be moving by then, if not well before then, on the upside.
I mean, let's remind everybody that we've had economic cycles in the past, and usually at the end there is pent-up demand and a big spike in business. And then there's also the raw material cost equation.
That's very favorable, and yeah, you're right. In prior cycles coming out, we've typically had double-digit unit gains. And if we get those on where break-even costs have been lowered to, it's going to be a nice juice to profits.
Okay. Well, one last question, and we're about to run out of time. But there's always the question of consolidation. Here's an industry these people we've talked about, these companies, are where they are because of buying other companies. Do you see any of that happening?
Well, Kemp, we'll see some consolidation, and it's going to be people disappearing, not people buying with M&A transactions. I really think if you're in a position, even if you're in a position to buy a competitor that's struggling and or failing, the question is, why buy them? Why not let them fail?
Right.
And then buy the assets out of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Do I expect to see fallout? And it depends by which market you're talking. I mean, we've largely consolidated the residential carpet business.
Right.
We'll see on the commercial carpet business, there could be some consolidation or fallout there. Would I expect to see some players disappear? And some of the ceramic importers have got to be under immense pressure. So we'll see some consolidation, I think, but it's not going to be an investment banker's dream. There's going to be very little M&A activity here.
All right, John. Well, I don't know if I want to end on a fail.
It is a sign of the time.
Well, wait a minute now. I was just talking to a banker the other day, and he said, in the 80s, early 80s, there was a misery index where they took the unemployment rate and the inflationary rate and added them together, and, we don't have anything near that. So, I mean.
Well, that's one measurement stick.
Yeah.
You have to look at where we are. Hopefully the plans the administration's put forth will create some level of stability to the financial system, which then can reopen the credit spigot and get consumers buying to some degree. That's going to be the critical link here. We've got to get some semblance of confidence in our financial systems.
All right. Well, it is what it is. We are running out of time, John. I appreciate you spending time with us. We've been talking to John Ball, who's managing partner and the analyst that a lot of people go to for making the calls on where the public companies in the flooring industry are. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.